Hello, and welcome back to Destination USA, a podcast from Index Ventures, a series of firsthand accounts of how Europe's leading entrepreneurs and operators expanded their businesses to the US. Today's episode is all about founder relocation. Why, when, and how do founders move to the US? And what does that entail from both a business and personal perspective? We're talking to Peter Lord, CEO and co-founder of Codat.
For us, it's adapting to being a company where everyone lived within 25 miles of each other to one that's international. And that's really exciting.
And Pedro Bados, CEO and co-founder of NextThink.
In my particular situation, you know, my first 100 days were a bit exceptional because we had all the shock of COVID in the first 100 days on top of the move.
Journalist Sohe Panja leads you through this conversation.
Thank you very much for joining us, guys. Let's start with a bit of a 60-second lowdown on your companies. Pete, do you want to go first on Codat?
So Codat is a four-year-old startup founded in London, but I'm speaking to you today from New York. I made the move in November of last year. And we help our clients connect to their business customers' financial software. And we're best known for connectivity into accounting software, so packages like Xero, QuickBooks, and Sage. And those clients, who are typically banks and large finance institutions, get a real-time live data connection into those small business customers' software.
Excellent. What about you, Pedro?
Yeah, so I'm the CEO and founder of a company called NextThink. We were initially founded in Switzerland, and still we have most of our team in Switzerland. We are known for being the pioneer and the category leader in digital employee experience. So we make sure people, especially in large companies, they have a great quality of service from their IT team. So basically, we make sure that people can work in front of the computers, the applications that work well, the applications that get adopted. We help IT teams to make sure they are cost effective. And we grew the company. We are about 700 people worldwide, growing nicely. And right now, I live in Boston.
Why did you move out there?
You know, I think when a European company considers to move to the US, there is always this East Coast versus West Coast. So that's the first decision probably, right? And for us, the East Coast was really because it was just easier to work with our teams in Europe for the time zone. That was the most important factor because we wanted people flying in and out from Europe to keep the culture. And then when you are in the East Coast, I think either New York or Boston probably are the two main cities. Boston was kind of for enterprise, B2B, the talent pool was a little bit broader, I would say, than New York.
Pete, what about you? Manhattan, quite different to leafy Boston, I assume.
Yes, but actually many of the reasons why we chose New York are very similar to Pedro. So we're 100 people now globally. But the vast majority of those are in the UK still. And so being in a city that's very well connected and has a lot of time zone overlaps was really important. So, and yeah, that's why the East Coast made sense. And then we actually looked at where our clients and prospective clients were. And there was a high density of those clients had offices in New York. And that's what made us choose New York over and maybe somewhere like Boston.
Well, I'm curious when this thinking first started, you know, when you started thinking we're going to have to move out to the US and specifically me as founder, CEO needs to be there. How early did that happen as in the story of your respective companies? Pedro?
For us, there were multiple attempts to really come to the US. So I think it was probably the first one, I had everything ready. Really, I even have an apartment. And actually, it's interesting. I was hesitating about New York and Boston at that time. I didn't have a family. And my wife got pregnant. And then we decided to be closer to the family and, you know, postpone a little bit the US business. It ended up being a good decision for the business as well, because we were able to grow the business in Europe. And now that we come to the US, we have a significant size. And that's also helpful.
But did the board or the investors, pregnant wife factor aside, was there pressure to get you out there earlier?
There is a preference because for investors, especially 5 years ago, a European B2B company, in terms of liquidity event, and in terms of, you know, I think it's much more easier to say, okay, you go to Nasdaq or you get acquired by a US company. And in order to do so, you have to be really present in the US. So for them, it's just better that the founder and the company moves a little bit more to the US. But they were suggesting, but I think they understood that what is important is really that the founder is growing the company. That's even more important than forcing people to go to the US.
Pete, what about you? When were you thinking about you having to move out there, and were you feeling similar pressure to do it sooner?
I certainly never felt any pressure. I think probably because the decision evolved gradually. There was never a point in time where it was, right, we've got to decide who's going and when they're going. It was something that became obvious over a period of probably about 12 months. And it followed from, you know, having inbound interest from clients in the US in our for our product, and then signing a couple of those clients, realizing the potential of the market, starting to sell from the UK to the US and building up that US client base a bit more. And then realizing that, you know, we needed to accelerate that growth if we were to make the best use of the opportunity in front of us. You know, at that point, realized that one of the founders needed to be there. I'm fortunate I've got two co-founders, and then kind of it was pretty clear that it should be me as the person to go. Compared to my co-founders, I spend much more time in kind of client-facing roles. So in the conversation with large prospective clients, as an example. So I think that's the main reason. And secondly is, you know, as we've been talking about already, if we're trying to send a message, then having the CEO move really sends that loud and clear to the market. So it was clear that it would be me, that I should be the one to go. And I was very excited. And then just a small matter of convincing my wife that we should move. Similar position to Pedro. I've got two young children. So it was why we should move kind of halfway across the world with a 1 and a 3-year-old. That was the hardest sell.
Give me a sense, Pedro, for you, when, if you can cast your mind back, when you did move out to the US, what did NextThink look like in terms of the size of the business? What was going on at the time?
Well, it was 1 year ago, so it doesn't look very different than what it is today. So probably it was 500 to 600 people organization, mainly engineering in Switzerland, sales offices all around the world. I think the biggest difference was probably that there were not really corporate functions in the US. Maybe just marketing was really here. And the more time I spent in the US during this year, there are more global functions like the CFO, like the head of HR, that they are now based in the US. So that's probably the main change that we have seen at NextThink.
And Pete, what is the state of Kodak at the moment, if you can describe what the business looks and feels like as it is today?
Yeah, so obviously very interesting time with expanding globally. And so we've just hired a sales leader here in the US who is building out a large sales team over the coming months. And so for us, it's adapting to being a company where everyone lived within 25 miles of each other to one that's, you know, international. And that's really exciting. In terms of the difference between Kodak, between when I moved and now, it wasn't long ago, so not a huge difference. But the difference in terms of when we made the decision for me to move is quite striking.
Pedro, what about talking about COVID? Is being based in Boston changed your personal presence in the company and being dislocated from Switzerland in that way?
You know, I moved 1 year ago, and it was just the moment that COVID hit. So it was actually 1 week before the whole thing. And many people ask me the question, well, if you knew that before, maybe you wouldn't have moved, because, you know, to be at home is actually the same. You could have been in Switzerland. But actually, it's been a big difference, because even if you are working from home, you are part of a culture and you are part of a community in the US, and you are part of your customers. They feel that you are here, you are committed. You are able to attract better talent in the US because now they know you are serious about the US. So all these things, even if you are working from home, I think make a big difference for the company.
Pete, that signal stuff that Pedro's just said, is that the main motivator for you, signaling your intent, being the CEO and the founder on the ground?
Yeah, definitely. And it's huge. And, you know, I don't think you can appreciate the difference it makes until you see it firsthand. So I completely agree with Pedro on that point. I think probably the main reason, if you, you know, ask me to kind of prioritize, you know, why it's important that a founder moves, it would be number one, with time zone number two, because that I was working remotely trying to expand the US from the UK prior to moving out here, and the late nights, you know, they take their toll. It's so much easier and you can be so much more effective when you're in the right time zone.
That first reason, the talent thing, I know it's early days yet, but has there been any examples so far where you found just being in Manhattan, even though you're still speaking through a laptop, it's been a factor that you can feel with a prospective new hire?
Yes, definitely. The sales leader that we've just hired that I mentioned, we probably would have been able to convince him to join had I been remote or in the UK, but it's certainly much easier for him to make that decision if there's less of a leap.
Pedro, what about you with examples of any people you hired where they could, just the mere fact that you were on US soil, are there any examples that jump out?
Yeah, well, I have probably the most important hire for the company, which is the chief revenue officer. I'm not sure he would have joined if I weren't still in Europe. I mean, in my business, the US is a very strong market. So there are great companies and great people, they have choices. And one of the things they pay attention to when they're going to choose the next venture, next company to join, is really how serious this company is about the US, which is probably the number one market, because they know that the companies, they have to understand the culture. Maybe the product has to be adapted to the US. So I don't think I would have been able to attract this type of caliber just promising that one day I will come to the US.
Do you feel that there might be people in London who are concerned that you are there and they might feel my CEO is now in America, that means the company's American? And is that a fear that you as the sort of CEO have to try to manage?
No, I think it'd be unfair to say probably that no one has had that thought. I'm sure there are people, but it's certainly not a large trend. Like I say, I'm one of three equal co-founders, and you know, two of them are still in London. And the US is very, very new for us. In particular, the team we're building out here is very much focused on go-to-market, and we haven't, we're not hiring engineering, for example, in the US yet. That's remaining 100% in the UK for the time being. So no major concerns. There are people who have signaled that they'd like to do the same thing as me and to help the US expansion. And we've got a couple of people who will be coming out to join me and helping build the team. And I think that's really important for that transfer of culture.
Pedro, you're not one of three. And I imagine trying to manage that transition and effectively having two companies, a US one and a Swiss one, was a risk. Did that happen? And did you have to try to manage that?
Well, I do have co-founders, I have to be clear. One of them left the company. And the other is overseeing all the user experience of the product, so it's more on the product organization. So for him, it was more natural to stay in Switzerland. But yes, I think maybe it was a little bit difficult because it was kind of a one-man show in terms of presence of a founder in the office. So I was a little bit more worried of my absence in Switzerland. But it's very interesting because, you know, with COVID, all these fears, maybe they have really, they're just fears. Let me put it like that. Everybody has realized that. And right now, actually, it's going pretty well.
What about you with American business culture, personally? Like, Pedro, you've studied in Spain and moved to Switzerland. Moving out to the US, are you finding adapting to American business culture difficult, or any aspects surprising?
I love the US business culture. I really love it. People, they are ready to take risks. They want to take risks. I think people, they embrace innovation. I think people, they embrace companies that they want to do things differently. In Europe, we tend to be a little bit more skeptical, a little bit more wait and see, I'm not sure. But here is really, they see the opportunity. And I think for a company like us, I think it's just great. So I'm really enjoying that perspective.
Yeah. What about on the team front? America's politically, it's changed quite a lot in that time you've been there. Things like Trump and BLM and stuff, it's kind of really bled into all aspects of life. I wonder if that's affected you in any way.
Yeah, one interesting thing is when you come to the US, you realize that the role of the CEO is different than in Europe, or it's a little bit broader. People are looking at the CEO and they are expecting the CEO to have an opinion on things like, you know, inclusion, diversity, politics, while in Europe it's much more separated. Your personal life, your opinion, whatever, and then the business. So here everything is mixed together. And I think it has advantages and disadvantages, but it's very different.
I really want to know around your personal motivations of moving out to the US and how deeply it was felt or not in that case. Pete, with you, have you had a previous relationship with the US in terms of a big desire to get out there?
The honest answer is no, not really. When it was clear that I was going to make the move, then, you know, it's definitely one I'm excited about. But I'd only traveled to the US a handful of times previously. So my wife had never been to New York until we arrived on the plane here in November. And so it's been a bit of not a shock, but it's taken some getting used to.
Pedro, for you, you obviously dotted around a bit from your hometown where you grew up to basing the business in Switzerland to coming out to the US. How has that been for you in terms of your desire to be in the US?
Yeah, I think for us it was a little bit easier because although my daughters, they were born in Switzerland, we were already expats. I mean, we were already living in a different country. You know, we are both from Spain, so we had the family in Spain already. Obviously, it's a longer flight, but we didn't live really close to the family. And I think that made maybe the things easier. And also, you know, the possibility to give an experience, a different experience for our children, I think was really one motivator on the personal side to say, look, 5 to 10 years, great experience. They will be trilingual and, you know, learn from a different culture. I think that was really we saw it as an opportunity really for the family.
Mm. How hard was it to convince your family that you were going to do this, particularly your partner?
Yeah, that's the only one that to convince. I think, honestly, it was easy because many people, they come to the US and they don't come as a CEO of a hot tech company to have a better life. And we had the opportunity to come to the US in great conditions. And that's really an opportunity that we have to take.
It sounds like you've practiced that pitch quite hard. What did you underestimate? What has been the hardest bit?
The hardest piece was probably the process of finding somewhere to live, and especially trying to do that remotely. That was quite close to the wire in the end, in terms of the travel waiver to enter the US, because there's a current restriction on travel. And then the flights that we'd booked and the apartment and getting that all to come together, combined with, you know, trying to pay for rent remotely without a check, without a credit history was a bit of a challenge. But yes, all operational issues really.
Pedro, how much of this rings true for you?
I have to congratulate Pete for this fast onboarding. I had a different experience because I think I was coming from Switzerland, which we all know is a very exclusive club, which everything works so well and is so well organized, that when I came to the US, it was kind of a cultural shock. It took us, you know, quite a few months, including, you know, passing the road test to have a new driving license and all that. The healthcare system was very different from Switzerland. You know, you have to find your own providers. So we just had another, actually the third our third kid was born in the US, so we had to go through the whole thing because my wife was delivering in the US. So quite a few things that when you look backwards, it looks easy, but when you have them in front of you, actually it was really a very long to-do.
I want to move a little bit on to the sort of first 100 days that you've been in the US. What do you need to prioritize right in the beginning? And what would you give advice to on any mistakes that you've made, of how you get the priorities right in the first 100 days. So, Pedro, you've had that experience as well. Why don't you kick off?
Yes. Well, you have to prioritize family over work. I don't recommend anyone to jump into Zoom calls after a big move, because you have to make sure, you know, your kids or your husband, your wife is really, you know, in a good position. So family first. In my particular situation, you know, my first 100 days were a bit exceptional, because I remember, you know, on Monday I drop off my daughters to the kindergarten, and on Friday was the last day of kindergarten because of the lockdown and all that. So it was, we had all the shock of COVID in the first 100 days on top of the move. But obviously my focus was really on the family.
With all the onboarding stuff from a life point of view and setting a lot of these things up, whether that's healthcare or schooling or whatever, is there an onboarding support that you have as a founder when you move out to the US? Or are you doing all of this stuff yourself, the chasing and pinning everything down?
It's an interesting question. You know, I was with one of my board members, and I just bought a house in the US, and I was telling him, look, three banks refused me to give me a mortgage. And he said, how is that possible? Yeah, because I don't have credit history in the US. I cannot get any mortgage. And he said, but why do you care about these things? You should have someone which is taking care of all these things. And I don't think it does exist. I mean, who's going to look at, you know, kindergartens, mortgages, healthcare, pediatricians for you? I mean, at the end of the day, it's so personal that you have to do it. And as Pete said, it's not the fact of doing it. It's you have to learn the system, because the things are very different than Europe. So you have to learn all that.
Pete, with the system, how familiar are you now with the system, and what are you still finding very challenging in this early period of your time in the US?
Yeah, it's still surprising me, for sure. I think what's been most valuable is the expat community that we've found, and actually, you know, through Facebook groups and actually just, you know, word of mouth. Once you meet one British dad in New York, you're actually plugged into this network of others, and that's been really helpful, because their advice is always the best, I find, because they've been through the same thing already, and they can educate you as to how the US is different to, for me, you know, the UK. So that's been extremely helpful, and that's how we've made some good friends, which is, I think, key to settling in a new place. And I was going to say, going back to the first 100 days, get set up, and then my advice would be, and, you know, make friends and network, you know, the business equivalent, whilst you're very new, because everyone is incredibly welcoming and helpful at all times, for sure, but especially if it's, you know, you've only been in the city for a month, people go out of their way to help and connect.
One of the things I want to try and get sense of is, if you hadn't moved out to the US, what do you think NextThink would have been like?
I don't think we will be set for success in the next 3 to 5 years. And I think we will, at some point, we'll hit a wall in the growth of the business. And it's interesting. You can only see it when you live here.
When you said you can only see things when you're living there, can you give us some details around what is it exactly that you can see when you're in the US?
We always say that the US is a country of entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship, but actually you really feel it when you are here. Everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. Everybody wants to really, they have their eyes shining about a better future. And I think it's just such a great culture of, I want a future which is different than the future that maybe my parents had, that it's rare to see this ambition and passion in Europe in general. I don't like generalizing, but that's a big difference, I would say.
Yeah. Last thing then. So what's your, if you had a message to give to a new generation of European founders, what would you say to them, Pedro?
Well, if in your business it makes sense to go to the US, because there are many great businesses that doesn't make sense to go to the US, I think there is not much to fear about. I think it's a country in which they have great opportunities, great quality of life. So I think it's worth to give it a try.
Yeah, and I'd add to that by saying, go ahead and go sooner than you think. I'd say probably about 6 months sooner than feels comfortable is probably about the right time to make the move.
In the next episode, we'll be meeting Trustpilot founder Peter Holten Mulman to learn about how the Danish startup that recently listed on the London Stock Exchange expanded to the US. Tune in then.